Early in the summer, elected leaders in Seattle did a rapid about-face on the head tax, a fee that would have collected money from large employers like Amazon to fund programs to address homelessness. At the time, poll numbers showed a majority of voters opposed the idea. Today, the Seattle Times reported on text messages from council members and Mayor Jenny Durkin that shed new light on discussions about the tax going on behind the scenes. In one message to Durkin, a venture capitalist calls the proposal the, quote, wrong fight at the wrong time on the wrong terms. Durkin replies, thanks, totally agree. I spoke to Seattle Times reporters Dan Beekman and Lewis Cam about their story on today's front page, and I asked Cam if he was surprised by the content of the text messages.
I wouldn't say I'm surprised. What kind of surprises me is that, city officials should know that their conversations are public record when they're talking about city business. It really doesn't matter under the law whether or not they're texting on a government phone or on their own private cell phone. If it deals with city business, these are public records. And more so than just this specific case, what kind of always surprises me is that city officials know this stuff's public, and yet they continue to have private conversations that may raise eyebrows or concerns.
Some of the sentiments in the text messages were similar to what the mayor and the city council involved in these said in public, but in a more unfiltered, unvarnished way. And they were cutting to the chase quickly about sort of their motivations and strategies, political strategies.
One of the text messages from Lorena Gonzalez that's mentioned in your story, it's time for us to swallow our medicine. We expletive this up royally. There have been complaints about Seattle leaders changing direction too often. We read about, we hear about people saying that they're frustrated with how the city is being run. And looking at these text messages, it seems like that feeling might extend to other city leaders as well. Dan?
Yeah, I mean, I think to some extent when you have city council members and a mayor giving their stamp of approval to a policy and then walking it back, that in itself is admitting some kind of mistake or some kind of error to some extent. So there's no getting around that. But also what you can see in some of the text messages is that, and this isn't to some extent different from what council members like Councilmember Gonzalez said in public, that she and some others still felt like this was the right policy, even though they were repealing it. At least that's what they said. And you can see in her text conversations, her thinking through with her aide, well, what do we do about that conundrum that we're going to sort of admit that this was a mistake and repeal it, but that we want to do something like this in the future.
In the story, it mentions that a lot of the people who sent or received these text messages declined to comment beyond, say, an aide confirming who or clarifying who was being discussed in the text messages. Have you, since the publication of the story, heard feedback from either city officials or people who have something substantive to say about it?
No, we haven't heard, I don't think, from any of the people who we wrote about in the story since it was published. And, you know, like you mentioned, we did reach out to everybody to ask them, do you want to walk us through this stuff? And we had no takers on that.
Some of the opposition to the head tax came from the editorial pages of the Seattle Times. And I know there's a firewall there, a separation between reporters and the editorial board. But after reading these texts, I wonder if you have a different sense of the paper's power within the city, Lewis?
No, I don't have a different sense, I wouldn't say. I mean, our role as reporters is to be watchdogs, good watchdogs for the public, and I think that's what we're doing. You know, we aren't sent out on a mission by our editorial page to find whatever. You know, what we found is kind of different than their position. I think the editorial board was against the head tax, and this one, you know, people could construe this as, you know, peeling back the curtain on how they repealed this thing, and that could work in favor of the pro head tax side. I mean, but really our job isn't really to pick sides or anything like that. It's just to hold people accountable, to also to reveal what really happened. And in this case, I think that's kind of what our mission was, to really find out, hey, this was a very strange way how this all went down so quickly, this repeal. There's more to the story there, and let's find out what that is.
And even if, you know, if you buy the argument that this polling that showed, you know, popular opposition to the head tax policy, if you believe that that was the main reason or a main reason for the repeal, knowing exactly where that popular opposition came from was something that was debated and contested at the time and could continue to be. You know, was it because of some editorial? Was it because of Amazon and Starbucks coming out against it? Was it because many ordinary voters think the council is doing a bad job because their property taxes had just gone up? Some combination of those? It's hard to say.
The text messages came out at the same time the city's been ordered to hand over other documents as part of a separate lawsuit, an Open Meetings Act lawsuit. Why is it important that the public see things like these text messages, like those documents? What's the principle at stake here?
Right. So Washington's Open Public Meetings Act essentially says anytime you have a majority of the council that are meeting to deliberate about city business or to potentially take action on city business, those discussions need to be done out in the public. And the principle behind it is to be transparent, to do things, you know, not behind the scenes with deal making, but out publicly so everybody gets an opportunity to see how this hashes out. In this particular case, the question is, you know, were these deliberations or these discussions that were going on behind the scenes, were they done collectively? And the other question is, you know, who are they communicating with behind the scenes? The folks that have the mayor's ear, for instance, in this case, you know, these are powerful insiders. Yeah, Should they have more access?
We've got an investor and a union leader among the messages here. So we're talking about people who might have more of the mayor's ear than you or I.
Again, it raises just concern about what really is the motivation behind the city working to repeal the tax measure. But I'm wondering, you know, why city officials, you know, can't they do some of these discussions just in a public forum? Isn't it possible that this city could have gotten these poll results and instead of having private discussions where they're triangulating where everybody stands on it, just come and have a committee meeting and talk about it publicly and then have their positions maybe formulate out of that? I think that's something that I think the law really wants to get to, that the public has a seat at the table so they can see how these decisions are made.
Dan Beekman and Lewis Cam, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
That's Seattle Times reporter Lewis Cam. He and fellow reporter Dan Beekman wrote about behind-the-scenes communications among Seattle leaders during the head tax debate.